What do each one of you think about the persecuted church, and how are you feeling right now about everything that's going on in the world? The coronavirus, the threat of war, the Trump and Netanyahu trying to declare a peace treaty now in the Middle East, if you guys don't know, that's the latest. How are you all feeling? Where are you at? Or are you just, doesn't it faze you? Let's start with you, Claire.
It definitely does faze me. I'm aware, as per, you know, the daily reports and Facebook articles and posts that come through all the time. So I'm aware, but at the same time, I feel like I'm in a little bubble, because it's not impacted me directly in any way. And that's how I experience what's going on. I'm aware, I hear it, I see it, but it's still like I'm like in my own little bubble. Yeah. But the other day, you know, I read sort of a summary of, is it Brother Jung? Brother Jung, the Chinese man that was persecuted from the 80s into the 90s. Mm-hmm. And that absolutely shook me to the core.
Share with us some stuff. I don't know.
And I read some stories about other Chinese Christians and what's happening. Just, it was some articles that I found, and it just absolutely wrecked my heart. It's just the absolute torture, what they've gone through, what he went through, you know, how he was beaten so many times. He was thrown off buildings. He broke his leg, both his legs. He broke his arms. I think he broke his back at one stage as well. Just serious, serious stuff. But how he just had this, he had such a resilience and just such a faith and such a strength that he just kept bouncing back and bouncing back from every situation. But eventually, when he was let out of prison, it was sort of a Paul and Silas situation. And he was in prison, in and out of prison over a period of 20 years. And I think a few years ago, when he was let out, he walked out. Doors opened and the Holy Spirit told him to walk out, and he walked out. And with that, the actual main gates of the prison was open. The guards didn't see him. They were all around him, but he walked out. And then the Holy Spirit told him to flee China. And I think he fled to Canada. And on a refugee status, he fled to Canada. But just... yeah, just really intense. And then I often see also, again, you know, on the articles of what's happening in Nigeria and the persecuted church there. And it's without a doubt, although it doesn't affect any of us directly, you know, it doesn't mean it doesn't affect us. It doesn't mean we don't pray. But I think this is, like you were saying earlier, Prof, this is such a point of intercession that we can no longer, you know, be in a bubble. We can't be ignorant about it in terms of, you know, the global church. So it just feels like, even though we pray, you know, is there anything more we can do?
Yeah, I hear you. Stu? What are your feelings and thoughts, and how are you coping and dealing with whatever's going on in the world today?
Well, the thing for me is, like Claire said, I live in a bubble, and it's like it doesn't affect me directly. And my biggest concern is, like, I mean, we're in the end times, and it's like the world has no clue that we're in it. And even those that think we're in it, they don't realize the severity of it. And I mean, all the signs are there, but everybody just seems like, well, it's not really real because it's not hitting us here, but it is hitting us in so many ways. But and I think I must say, like I said the other day, since like my Lord showed me, like the people are numb. They don't know what's happening. They see it, but they're not emotionally affected because it's not personal yet. So yeah. That's my big concern, is that the church is fast asleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see, the thing is that there's a scripture in the Bible, and I can't get to it right. I can't remember where it is, but it says something along the lines of our senses actually being dulled. I don't know where that scripture is, but the gist of that scripture is that in the last days, many will become like not phased, like dulled, like living in a false sense of security. And when they wake up, it'll be too late. And that's what I see, you know. It's like the world out there, end time prophecy has, as in this 1 year, end time prophecy has manifested almost 90% of what's in the end time prophetic manifestations have happened already. And it's in our faces. It's like, and it's global. And it's not one thing or two things or three things. It's about 100 stuff that's happened between 2017 and now. That's in the word about the end of days and the rapture. So if you could ignore it before because it was one or two, you can't ignore it now because now it's like 100. It's 10 things happening at any one time globally that's in the word. I mean, when Kirsten, I don't even think Kirsten knew what she was doing when she posted the seven trumpets the other day. And the minute she posted it, my spirit man just reacted to it because I knew the seven trumpets, the first three has been blown already. And if you go sit in a church service on a Sunday, if I every day I listen to teachings by different men and women of God, every day. No one is talking about the end times except one. Out of all the people that I listen to, only one, which is Veronica West. No one else is talking about the end times. When any church, and I've been visiting a lot of different churches in the last year, no one's preaching about it. And then I see what's going on. And so I made a decision, guys. I was going to host on the 8th of February, I was going to host a prophetic seminar to release the word for 2020 and beyond that God gave me. And it's hectic, okay? And some of it has already started happening. Stuart and I recorded it 2 weeks ago on a Friday, and we posted it on Facebook. I posted some pictures. And already some of the stuff that we recorded that day, even though it wasn't made public, Stuart and I know it. What I prophesied happened in the last 2 weeks. So I saw what happened, what broke out in China. I saw and I prophesied. It's recorded. And so when this thing broke out, like I was watching it, but I didn't connect the dots until yesterday. I was sitting in my bedroom and reading an article, and I went, oh my God. And I phoned Stu and I said, Stu, I sent him a message. I said, do you remember what I said when I prophesied? And he said, yes, like mind blowing. And I said, team, it's happening. Several things that I prophesied in that word has already started coming to pass. And in a way, I feel so bad because it's like, you know, I don't want to be the voice in the earth calling forth this stuff. But on the other hand, I didn't come up with these ideas. I mean, how was I supposed to think up this stuff? God showed me, you know. And So it's surreal being somebody, and the Lord says, look, this is what's coming, and then boom, like within a matter of a week, it happens. And I'm sensing that the prophetic words and warnings that we're getting, it's now not like, okay, God's giving a warning 7 years before the time, like the old prophetic cycle used to work like that. Now it's like it gives you a warning in a week or two, sometimes even a day later it happens. So you seriously need to be connected to the frequency of heaven, on the pulse of what God's saying, and taking seriously what's coming out of the mouth of the prophets. I was sharing with Stuart that a year ago I was in New Zealand, 2 years ago, and it was my first trip, my maiden voyage to New Zealand, and I was ministering. And as I flew into New Zealand, the Lord said to me, I'm not happy with the level of idol worship in this nation. You better just announce that I'm going to shake this nation with an earthquake. And I'm like, Lord, I can't do that. It's like, I don't know anybody here. I was just been invited. It's my first time. They're like, no, give me a good word. And I fought with God, and I didn't want to release it. So in the meeting, just before I took the platform, the Holy Ghost was pushing me. I mean, like seriously dricking me. Like, you're going to say this now. I actually broke out in a sweat, like a bad sweat, because the Lord was telling me, you go up and you go and warn them. You announce this. And I said, God, I can't. And eventually it was like, he pushed me out of my chair and he said, you will say what I tell you to say. And I mean, he was not very loving when he said it. He was rebuking. I got so crap scared that I jumped up and went to the podium and took the mic. And I was literally shaking in my voice when I said, this is what the Lord is saying. And I didn't even look at the people. I looked down because I felt like, you know, like, And I said, give me wisdom then. And I said to them, look, God says he's not happy with the idolic worship in the land. And that he's gonna bring this nation to repentance through a shaking. He's gonna shake the land. And immediately after the shaking, the Lord says there'll come an awakening. An awakening to the fear of the Lord, and an awakening to his fire and his presence, and the church. People will run back to the church and start knowing that he is God. And 7 hours later, in the city next to where I was preaching, an earthquake hit the land. And the name of the city is Christ Church. I mean, how that word, prophetic word, went viral in New Zealand. And all the pastors heard about this woman that declared it. And 7 hours later, it happened in a place called Christ Church. So it wasn't even like a year or a month. It was like instant. In another meeting in Australia, also on my maiden voyage, I prophesied and I said, I see the hand of the Lord breaking through the skies and breaking through the demonic resistance in the first realm, second realm. And as the hand of God breaks through, the glory is released and I see rain coming, and there was a drought in Australia and there was no water. And within a few days, it hit national news on Australia that there was a cloud in the form of a hand pushing through the rest of the clouds in a city called Kingstown, which was a mining town where they mined gold, over a river called the King's Mouth. And right where the hand broke through, we were all watching it on television, because they said something like the hand of God has formed over this King's Mouth, and lightning and thunder, and it broke out in rain, and it flowed from there to the rest of Australia, and the drought is broken. And it was literally within a few days of me announcing it, and more I'm seeing the prophetic word of God is released and it happens. It released and it happens. And before, the cycle that it used to be was, you know, God would show me things long ahead of time. But now that time is becoming shorter, whereas before maybe it's a year or two. Now it's a month or a week. And things are happening with great acceleration. So it's surreal, you know, as a prophet, as somebody who's seeing what's coming, it's not always nice to see what's coming. I mean, I saw judgment coming on China and on Iran and on Russia. And it's happening. For those of you who don't know, Russia's been hit with a plague of locusts. China's been hit with the coronavirus. 90,000 have been infected already, and it spread throughout China. And it's like, the things that God said is happening, you know. So remember, now you say, but God loves us. And God, what about the church in China? But God loved Israel as well when he sent the seven plagues on Egypt. The Israelites were in the midst of it. The plagues weren't in a land of far away from them. Their neighbors were dying. Their neighbors were being afflicted. Their neighbors were being tormented by those plagues. But they were protected. And I believe that even in the midst of China, God is bringing China to its knees, the dragon to its knees, to let them know that I am the Lord God Almighty, the God of all flesh. And you have persecuted my church, and the blood of these martyrs are crying out. And that is why the virologists have done genetic testing on the virus, and it says that the genetics of the virus are equivalent to a Chinese cobra, a serpent. And I thought to myself, yes, God. Remember in Psalm 91, it says that the Lord will protect you against the serpent. But in the King James Version, it doesn't say serpent. It says the Lord will protect you against the dragon. And the Chinese symbol is the dragon. So the very thing that they have worshipped as a god is destroying the nation of China. The Lord is prophesying through this. And I just believe that the blood of Jesus is going to cover the church in China, and all of his anointed ones won't be touched. But those who have been worshiping the dragon and these other gods, and God is really speaking, he's screaming over the nation, but he's giving them an opportunity to repent. He's giving them an opportunity to acknowledge that he is the Lord God Almighty, the God of all flesh. And you look across the world, and you know, the locust is called the spirit. The locust is always described in the Bible as a devourer. It comes to devour the land, to rape it, to bring famine, to destroy everything. That's what locusts do. Russia, Putin, President Putin's dream is for the Russian Empire to regain its power, because Russia used to be one of the dominating powers in the world under the leadership of, was it Napoleon? Who was the Russian that came from, Stalin, under Stalin. And Putin, his dream is to restore the lineage and the power of Stalin so that Russia becomes the great empire it used to be. In other words, the spirit of the destroyer is in his heart. And God sent the spirit of the destroyer in the form of locusts last week to Russia. So God is speaking with all of these things that are happening. You can go to the scriptures and you can meditate on it, and you can see what God is actually saying to these nations. And because in his mercy, we are sad, and thousands are infected and hundreds have died already. And we think, God, why are you being so cruel? But he's a God of judgment and of grace, of love. He took out, I don't know how many thousands in Egypt when he wanted to make a point and let Pharaoh bow. Pharaoh refused to bow, and Pharaoh was causing the oppression of God's people, but the whole of Egypt had to suffer. Do you understand? This is why we have to pray for new leadership over our nation. This is why I'm so grieved. Because the Bible says when the righteous rule a nation, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule a nation, the people cry out in fear and trembling. Because whoever the anointing flows from the head down, and God will deal with the nation according to the ways of the leader of that nation. This is why South Africa must get a new president. And I'm not being disrespectful. God says, pray for your leadership. And I have prayed since our leader came into power, I've been praying for him, but he has turned his back against God's voice. Now I have to pray for a new president, because the nation, the innocent people in South Africa, cannot suffer because of the wickedness of our leaders. So, you know, I believe that the Lord is really calling us to a time of sobriety. A time where, honestly, you know, I preached a word a year ago in the awakening, and it was radical for me. I was like, my God, why am I preaching this? It sounds like a heresy, God. Is this you? Is this deception? Is this a doctrine of demons? What the heck? I've never heard. And I preached this. It just came out of my mouth. And I said that the Trinity had a time on the timeline of earth. Every member of the Trinity had a time and a season. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep. Time on earth began through and with the Holy Spirit. All things started in the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit. Then you fast forward to the middle of God's timeline, and I identify God's timeline as the beginning, when creation was started, and at the end when the rapture happens, and it's the end of times. And right at the beginning was the time of the Holy Ghost, the time of the Holy Spirit, and how he had to move on the earth for God to speak and to move through his prophets and to manifest. But then you get some halfway through God's timeline, Jesus shows up, and it's the time of Jesus, and he comes to reconcile man to God, and to bring us revelation and his seven spirits, and, you know, to cause salvation through the cross and the promise of resurrection and his soon return. But in the end of times, you see the voice of the Father screaming, speaking loudly, more than ever before, because it is the voice of not just judgment, but the great judge, the sovereign God, the holy ancient one. He's speaking now. And it says that he makes the decision when the rapture happens. Not even Jesus knows. It is the Father's time now. And the Father operates a little bit differently to Holy Ghost than Jesus, which is why you're hearing such a lot of judgment prophecies coming forth now and hardcore stuff. Because it's the Father speaking. It is the roar of the lion. It's him speaking now, you know. And for me, like my whole life, when I was 3 years old, I used to have dreams about the end of days, and I saw hell. And I mean, I was only three. Demons used to try to suffocate me at that age. And my father came into my room more than once, ripping demons off me at night, because Satan knew what my purpose was as a child. And it's like I've come into the fullness of my purpose now at this age. Everything he showed me then is manifesting now. But it's like something was woken up in me, because let's say I read things in the article before and it didn't move me. Now I read it and it's like I place it in time. In prophetic time, in the Word, and it's almost like things are highlighted. It's like become 10 times, 100 times more illuminated now. But it's because of the time that we are in. And there are many days that fear grips me, because I know the story, how the story ends. I know what's coming. And, you know, then I obviously worship and I meditate on the Word and I go to his feet. And I'm sharing this with you and exposing myself, because I'm trying to teach you this is real. We can't ignore it. We can't hide ourselves in a closet and make like this is not happening. It's happening. And human nature's best defense mechanism is to ignore the obvious and to go into not fight syndrome, but flight syndrome. you become oblivious to everything going on around you, and you tell yourself that it's, you know, it's not affecting me, but it actually is. But the way that we need to deal with this is by building our intimacy with Jesus, because only staying close to his heart gives us the peace, you know, and to know that he's got us covered. So that's me. That's where I'm at right now. So it's like, let's say you were a little child and your parent read you your favorite book, and then you grow up and they make this wonderful movie about the book, and you go and watch the movie and you're carried away. It's like, oh my God, everything you ever imagined when your dad and your mom was reading you the book, here it is, and you're seeing it. That's how I feel. That's my story. Kirsten, what about you? And I'm getting you guys to talk about this because I want it to become a reality, and we're going to be talking about this more moving forward.
For me, I can relate to what Claire and Stuart shared. On the one hand, it feels like you're in this bubble because you're not directly hit or affected. But on the other hand, it's like I can relate to what you were saying, Prof, with regards to before you read things and it was like, oh, okay. But today when you read something or you see something, it's like it immediately grips you, it shakes you. It's like, you know, I am not a... Or before when I read an article or I saw a picture related to an article, related to everything that's happening, I wouldn't be fazed by it. If it interested me, then I would go in, I'd read it. But today, just by scrolling without even reading the actual content, just by seeing the title or the image associated with the article, it's like my heart literally breaks. And it's like I just become emotional, but emotional in a sense of like a cry for everybody else, for the people who don't know what is happening, for the people that is oblivious to the truth. Like Stuart is sharing, the church just, they've got like this nonchalant attitude, like they're just disregarding what they don't want to believe in the Bible, even though the Bible states it. It's like they're just sweeping it under the carpet and pretending as if it doesn't exist and just going on like, you know, we're not going to die, like the rapture's not going to happen, like whatever is manifesting is just coincidence. And it's heartbreaking to actually see that and to talk to people and to hear those type of things and attitudes and thoughts coming out of them. There are days where I do get fearful as well, just in terms of like the unknown and actually walking out the house. Like, especially this last 3 weeks, I've been very conscious of my surroundings and just I've been so alert. Like when in the morning when I leave the house, it's like I make peace that I may not come back. It's constantly like this battle that I've been facing every morning and every night. When I wake up in the morning, I always just, you know, thank God for actually waking me up. And before I go sleep at night, God's been, I don't know, making me do this thing where I kind of just make peace and I'm like, Lord, well, if I don't wake up tomorrow, then, you know. So there are those moments where fear does grip me, but then I come out of it. I don't stay there. And then there are those moments where my heart's breaking and I wish, you know, that I wish I could just make it real somehow for those people who don't understand, who's not getting it, who's not really believing what is the truth. So yeah, that's basically it from my side.
Okay. Larata?
For me, what I'm seeing and what concerns me right now is the level of how everything is happening. And as you have been speaking as well about the persecution is now here, even in our country, I feel like time is really of the essence and we cannot stress it even further. And it's hard to even think about how we are sleeping or how other people are sleeping, and we focused on the day to day as though nothing is happening, as Kirsten is saying right now. And my worry is that, Lord, let us not be caught sleeping. We need to do something. And every day when I wake up in the morning as well, I get that feeling that the intimacy, God has been talking to us about the intimacy for too long, and it's been weeks upon weeks, day upon day. And he's been stressing it day and night. And that's what we need to do, because the end is here. Just a few days ago, me and guys, as we were about to go to bed, we were praying. And immediately as I shut my eyes, I saw as though I'm seeing a WhatsApp status message on my phone. And what I saw was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I say to him, yo, I can't sleep now because it's so much on me. It's like the presence and the spirit of the Lord is talking to me about this. And it's heavy. And as the children of the Lord, we really need to take heed and really, really, really so much work and be in alignment with the Lord and really seek him and yearn for him and be desperate like the air that we breathe and the water that we need on a daily basis, and really cry for our land and cover ourselves.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marcia?
Hi there, hi. I've got mixed emotions. Just now, the Holy Spirit reminded me of a dream I've had many years ago before I started really walking right with God. And basically, I was in a church, and there was a man, there was a seat, and there was a man sitting on the seat, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit. It's like I saw the being of a man, so I believe it was the Holy Spirit. And I was inside a church, and then there was like this mesh on the ground, and from the mesh coming up were flames, and I could smell like a gas, like a sulfur smell. And I was trying to warn the church, the people in the church, that, you know, there was a smell of gas, and there was fire, so the church was going to blow up on fire and they were all going to die. But I was shouting, but nothing was coming out of my voice. But I was like going, guys, look at this, look at this, look at this. But no one could hear me, because they couldn't hear me. No one was taking any notes of me. And it's like, that's how I feel now. That people have already said so far, that they just feel the church, not all the church, but there are members of the church, mm-hmm. that just, for some, maybe this is going to be what I'm going to be talking about on Saturday, but they're just not awake. They don't understand the times and seasons, and it's so dangerous not to understand the time and seasons. And it's not just the church, it's also like those who are not saved. And I got reminded of the day when I went to Leicester Square last year, I think it was in the summer. And I was walking through Leicester Square, and there was just a sea of people. Leicester Square is the centre of London where people go, and there's a lot of like restaurants and loads of stuff going on. And it was just, and I was walking along and I was saying, God, this is, loads of these people are going to be going to, you know, God forbid, but this is what hell must look like. It was a sea of people. And I'm thinking, Father, please save these people, because I don't want them to go to hell. And it really struck me, all this, all different cultures, creeds, backgrounds, religions, walking through Leicester Square. And I'm like, Father, these are your people. You created them. And I don't want to see them go. And then Then another sad thing about my family and my friends who I know I pray for and I believe salvation is going to come to them, but I want them to make it up. I've asked God, please let them be rapture ready. But I'm thinking about myself. Am I rapture ready? I'm telling people about God. I'm preaching about God. I'm testifying. I'm sharing things on Facebook, trying to warn the people about the end times, telling people about Trump, and people probably thinking, you know, why is she supporting Trump? Well, she's mixed race. Why would you support a racist? Because, you know, a lot of people think Donald Trump is racist and Boris Johnson is racist. But at the same time, I'm thinking, but what about me? Am I ready? Am I ready myself? Am I rapture ready? There's a whole load of emotions going on. And I'm seeing what's going on around in the world. I'm thinking, oh, this is serious, man. It's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, that's what I wanted to share. That was it, sorry.
Yeah. Natalie, I don't know if you can talk if you're at the hospital or whatever. Maybe leave Natalie for now, please, sir.
Hi, bro.
Hey.
So I'm still catching on to what's been happening.
So we're talking about...